As you see on the board, if you will, turn to number 360, Standing on the Promises. This song was written by a man named Russell Carter. And Russell Carter was a star athlete, and at a military academy. He was an excellent student academically. He later became not only a teacher but a coach there at the academy. He spent several years as a Methodist preacher, after which he went to medical school, and that's how he spent the last part of his days as a doctor of medicine. Although Carter was a professed Christian most of his life, it wasn't until a crisis with his physical heart that he actually became a dedicated religious man. And actually, as I understand it, he even wrote this song even before he rededicated himself. At the age of 30, his health began to dwindle. And he went to the doctors, and the doctors told him his heart was failing. And not only that, but it was critical, that they could do nothing for him. And so Russell took and started thinking himself. He started meditating, and he remembered the promises that he had read in God's Word. He read the promises about God being able to heal. He read the promises about God taking care of his children. And so he dedicated himself to the work of the Lord. And in fact, he prayed to God and promised God that whether he was healthy or not healthy, the rest of his life was going to be dedicated to God. Well, God healed him. He let him live. And after this episode, at 30 years of age, Carter lived another 49 years afterwards. But like I said, what allowed him to do it? I think a lot of it was because he had went back to the words of this song. It's interesting, in our songbook, we only have three stanzas. The original song was five stanzas long, and I think even in our older books, one of our older books, they have four stanzas. And so let's look at the reading of this song, the verses. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Then the chorus, or the beginning of the chorus, says, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. The second verse has standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. And truly, that when we talk about God's promises, that's one thing we're assured of. You know, his promises aren't going to fail. You know, I was thinking about this, and when we was doing this lesson, I even thought myself, I mean, which this was written back in the 1800s, you know, but even years later, I can remember even in my lifetime, when a man made a promise, when a man or a lady gave her word, I mean, you could count on it. Nowadays, I don't know that you can count on it as much. Even when people give their word or make a promise to you, it don't seem like it has the same effect like it used 2 years ago. We can be sure, though, when it comes to God's promises, that they're going to be true. They're going to be faithful. And it doesn't matter, as the verse says, whether it's when the howling storms come, when I live in fear, I know that God's promises are going to stand true. That all those things that He has promised us in the Word is going to be true. The third verse, which is left out of our songbooks, originally went, "Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect, present cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God." And so this verse talks about God's promise, His promise to cleanse us from all sin. Well, whether we've never obeyed the gospel and we obey those first conditions, those first steps, He's promised us if we will do that, then His blood cleanses us. It makes us clean. It gives us a new start. But He's also forgiven those who have done that and went astray. He's promised us that we can come to Him also, and we can ask forgiveness. And that forgiveness is still there, that makes us free from the punishment, the enslavement of sin. And so God promises us that. The fourth verse, as the song was written, says, "Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God." And once again, as we look at this, as we think about it, as God has promised it to us, how do we overcome the things in our lives, the sorrows? How do we overcome the afflictions? Well, we overcome it with God's strength. By having, as the second part of the verse says, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. When we think about the love that God and Christ has for us, if we're His children, we're bound to Christ. He's bound to us. We have that promise that He's always going to be there for us. And we have the promise, as the next part of the verse says, that we can overcome daily with the Spirit's sword. You know, and once again, as I think about this song, it has so much meaning to me. You know, it doesn't say overcoming yearly, overcoming weekly. Our struggle as Christians, our struggle as men here on this earth with the fight against the devil, is a daily thing. That's all we have to worry about, is that daily struggle. If we can get it through it, we succeeded. And that's what the promise is. The promise is we can overcome evil. We can overcome the devil. We can stand strong with the Spirit's sword, that is, with the Word of God. And then the last stanza of the song, which is not listed here, which some of you may be able to remember from the other ones, it says, "Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God." And once again, you know, like I said, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. I ain't going to tell you that means that we're going to live the perfect life. But it does mean if we will stand on the promises of God, we will not fall as Christians. We will not lose that home in heaven. And that's a promise from God also. He's promised that to us. That if we will live faithful that home's going to be reserved for us. It's going to be there for us, waiting us when this life is over. And then that last part of the stanza, resting in my Savior as my all in all. It's through His strength, once again, that we are able to do that. It's through His love and His care and His mercy for us that all these things happen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." And that truly, that's, to me, that's the whole meaning of the song. You know, when we think about the promises of God, we're not thinking about the promises of Steve Burdine. We're not talking about the promises of any man. Because guess what? Even my promise and my word, and I can try my best with all I can, in one sense, I cannot guarantee I'm going to be able to fulfill it. Because I don't have that power. I don't have that control. Things happen out of my control that I might not be able to fulfill that promise. But God's promises are true. Because God has that power. He has the power to make them all come true. And so what He says is faithful. We can count on His promises. And we can count on His word. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we asked you to think about that tonight. You know, we don't ask you to come because of something I've said or anybody else. We ask you to come because of what Christ has promised you. He's promised you, as was written in the song, that if you will come to Him, He's going to cleanse you from all your sins with His blood. He has promised that if you will live a faithful life, He has went and prepared a home for you in heaven that is waiting you when this life is over with. Are you willing to give your promise then to God? That you're going to live for Him. That you're going to consecrate your life to Him. If you are, then God will fulfill His promises. So if there's anything that we can do tonight to help you to come and to partake of the promises of Christ, to have your sins forgiven, we're here and willing and ready to help you any way that we can. But you have to make it known. You have to tell us before we can help you. So whether you want to come forward at this time and make it known, or whether it might be after the services are over, or whether it might be tonight, when you go home and you start to thinking and your conscience starts bothering you, we're ready at any time to do that. But now you have an opportunity that may not be here tomorrow. And so we ask that you truly think about your soul's condition and do what is necessary as we stand and as we sit.